Hey guys, and welcome back to this episode of Firestarters. We're your hosts, Izzy,
Alma,
Angel,
Chandler.
And today, in this episode, we'll be talking about entertainment value, social messages, and censorship.
Hello, I am Alma, and I am your semi-host for right now. I will be discussing with you the message of society that includes that family is important and the different ideals that come with that. So, prevalently, we see that there's many different social messages and there's different types of censorship that occur from chapter 10 all the way to chapter 17. This is very exciting because we are able to know now what we have been waiting for and anticipating from the beginning of the book. And I am very excited to tell you that we have finally learned about Mia's past, even though it's very tragic. In chapter 14, we are able to learn that Mia has had a dark, dark past, even darker than I anticipated and probably what you anticipated. We are able to learn that Warren, her younger brother, was a preferred child, per se. Their parents adored him, and any decision that he made was completely fine on their standard. However, even because of this, he supported Mia throughout it all, and that meant a lot, because Mia was always looked down upon, no matter what, and they told her that her dream, what she pursued, art and her photography, were just a waste of time and a waste of money. And so Warren supporting her and her neighbor supporting her were a way for her to get out of that shell and to be able to pursue what she has always loved and wanted. However, she's always been the one to have more complications and to have more problems. And this was also up to when she grew up and went to an artistic and photography college, which is what she's always wanted, even though her parents did not like that at all. So everything was fine. There was problems here and there, but she was the top of her classes and she did very well up until she became a surrogate for the Ryans in New York. And this is one of the reasons why Warren, even though he supported her up to so many points, he stopped supporting her when she became a surrogate for the Ryans, saying that there was no reason to, and that this was a big jump from her, even from her, and that surprised her. And Warren said that he wouldn't tell, however, he stopped talking to her, and even up to his death at age 17 because of a car crash in which he did not have a seatbelt. Now, this ideal that he always believed in her was very important because it gave her the ability to believe in herself and the ability to always look upon her as, I did this because I wanted to and because of the support that I have from these people, and this is important to me. And every family should have that. Every family should have an equal equality and believance in each other. And it's unfortunate that in this society that we live in today, there's preferences and there's jealousy within not only out there in society, but even in our own families, and families about equality. I personally believe that, many others believe that, I've looked it up, I've researched, and it says that families equality and families should be loving, even if it's hard. So, personally, there's many different types of ideals that are out there, but family is the most important one within this book in the current moment, along with pregnancy, which Izzy is going to talk about, and many other social ideas, such as the controversial topics that involve Lexi, which is what Chandler's going to talk about. All of these are very important within the book. Pearl is also an important character within this part of family. Pearl, even as she was growing up, was demonstrating a lot of love towards Mia, and Mia ran away from New York to have Pearl. And this demonstrates why she doesn't like New York in the first place. But we see that Pearl, even after Mia did all of this and is totally unaware of it, that she starts demonstrating less love towards her and starts lying to Mia to go and be able to do the deed with Trip and to do different things with him. And this is very awkward, but it's a type of censorship, and this is showing respect towards us. But all of this is different, and it unsettles Mia. And this is what I mean by telling you that family is about equality, and it's about importance. And the ideals that the parents give you is the ideals that you should remain with and not to be able to change yourself. So this social message that Celeste Nin shows us and demonstrates to us is important, and it's something that we should be able to take and show to our society now that this is what is supposed to be done.
Hello, I'm Chandler, and I'll be your host, and we'll be discussing
the controversial topics that involve the teens of this novel.
The first controversial topic that we'll be discussing involves both Pearl and Lexi, and that is teenage intercourse. This is a controversial topic because some believe that if you show the implications that may occur if teens do have intercourse with one another to the teens, such as having a baby and having to take care of their work in their high school and getting a career, making enough money to sustain their family at the same time, then they will be a lot less likely to have intercourse with one another. On the other hand, however, one may argue that teens can't help themselves from having intercourse with one another because they just don't have enough willpower, and it's something that naturally occurs among teens that are going through a lot of hormonal changes. No matter which side you are on, teenage intercourse will occur, and teenage intercourse can result in teenage pregnancies, which is another controversial topic we will be talking about. Teenage pregnancies is another controversial topic because it often, more than not, results in abortions among teens because they just do not have enough money or time or enough education and wisdom to be able to financially sustain themselves as a family. So they have to get an abortion so that they don't have to deal with having to be a parent as well as being a student. One may argue that having careless sex with another person may result in this pregnancy, and they should not be given the option to just easily get rid of them, not necessarily the mistake that they have made, but the actions in which they have taken that have resulted in a gift of life, and they should not just waste this gift of life in which they've been given. They have to be responsible and have to take care of it. Well, on the other side, they may argue that they didn't know any better because they were so young and they're still learning. So they have to be taught and have to experience things, be able to overcome this and move past it so they'll be able to be more experienced in life and do things themselves. All of these controversial topics so far have applied to Lexi because she has had this, per se, careless sex with another person, her boyfriend, and has resulted in her getting pregnant. She didn't have to go get an abortion, but in order for her to be able to go to Yale and be able to make progress in life to the point to where she is ready to have a baby and ready for this baby, she feels that she will have to get rid of this baby, though it greatly saddens her because she is much of the maternal type, so she wants to take care of this baby. She wants to create a family with her boyfriend. However, they just are not able to because they are still teenagers. This made Lexi feel lifeless, empty, drained, and, well, self-conscious because this is just a really tough decision that even adults really struggle with. And I guess there really is no right choice on this, but she also described it as she had been pregnant and now she was not. There had been something alive inside her, and now it was not. She described it as there was some piece of her that was in her developing, growing, and forming a new life, and then it just had to go because she had an abortion, and there was nothing living inside of her anymore. Because of how the nurse at the front desk reacted to Lexi coming into the abortion center as a young teen, we can assume that it's not uncommon, or she's not the first teen to come in and have an abortion. This ends my segment as your host, and now I hand it off to Angel.
Hey guys, welcome back to this podcast episode. Today we're going to be talking about the social messages of Lexi and Mia's pregnancies, so let's get right into it. First of all, they both had very different pregnancies. Like, Mia's pregnancy was more, she wanted it to happen, she knew what was gonna happen. I don't think she really saw, like, the ending. And Lexi's pregnancy was more of an accident, really, and it would have been more of a problem if she had not aborted it, but I realized that she didn't notice that herself, and she wasn't thinking in that light. I'm glad that she did, and I'm glad that her boyfriend, like, nudged her in the right direction without really knowing what was going on. He even says, Lex, we're 18. You know what people would say? Everyone would say, oh look, another black kid knocked up a girl before they even graduated from high school. More teen parents, probably gonna drop out now. And they would essentially have to drop out even though they're about to graduate. She would have to drop everything. She wouldn't be able to go to Yale. She wouldn't be able to do anything because she has to take care of this baby. It's not like she can pass it off to someone. It would have been worse if she had kept it because, this, again, the social message would have been like, oh, look at her, like she was reckless and she was stupid. Now this child is gonna have to go through life knowing that, like, oh, I was a mistake. Oh, my mom, like, gave birth to me when I was, or when she was 18, when she was just a child. So it wouldn't have been brought up in, like, such a good way anyway, because she wouldn't have had the money. She would have to just live at home with her parents. The author did a really good job capturing what it's like for a teenager to go through this, and I haven't gone through it personally myself, but it's terrifying to have to go through it, like, literally all on your own, and you just kind of want to curl up and you just want to, like, make it go away. And the only way to have it go away is to go out and do something about it. And honestly, she's really lucky to have Pearl and Mia, like, to be such good friends with her and, like, to help her through the situation. Like, without her, she wouldn't have been able to go into the clinic. She wouldn't have been able to have somewhere to be that's not at home afterwards. Now, moving on to Mia's pregnancy. It only really happened because of the surrogate, and she only really went through with it because she wanted the money, but ended up, like, falling in love with her baby, so she didn't get the money to be anyway. And again, it's like she was going through it by herself, and she was, like, completely on her own, and she still had to bear this child, which I don't think she felt, like, I really don't think she regrets it at all. And it's much more harder that she had to go through her brother's death, plus kind of being disowned by her parents, because they were like, we don't want to be seen out with you in public, because she was quote-unquote selling her child, as her father put it. She's leading the social message of being a single mother and being put out into society, just having people think one way or another. And on the one hand, they could be thinking, like, oh, she screwed around, like, she was not responsible at all, even though she's an adult, and now she's stuck with a responsibility that she doesn't even want. And on the other hand, it's, oh, she's just independent, oh, her, like, baby daddy is awful and rude and, like, didn't even want to, like, stick around, which neither even apply to her. She was a surrogate, as I just said, and she got pregnant and it worked, and she fell in love with her baby. And after finding out, like, her parents don't even stand by her, her brother has died, who's not gonna stand by her, she doesn't have anyone to stand by her, so she just ran away. That made this into such a bigger problem, because she's literally on her own and she has nobody to turn to. And both girls carry a social message that are completely different from the other one, and they both went through a pregnancy, no matter how short or no matter, like, how long or whether she carried to term or not. But it's both, like, it's still kind of a scary thing. I feel like if you get pregnant, regardless of what age you are and regardless of whether or not your baby daddy left or whether or not you're a runaway surrogate, it's still a negative social message, unless you're getting pregnant with a family and you're an adult and you have a job and a house and, like, all this other stuff. And I just feel like society has put it on that way, even though sometimes, like, we didn't even mean to do it, which doesn't always necessarily mean we're irresponsible. So that concludes our social messages of the pregnancies. On to our next host. And this concludes this episode of Firestarters. Thank you to Ms. Newbern for sponsoring this episode. And tune in next week for our final episode. Woo!
I'm Angel, and I'll be discussing about censorship in the book. Censorship can be used in many parts of the book, from the character's cursing to specific events that can use a little less description. For example, when it was describing Pearl's first time, although it did not go into specific detail on how the points went out, it did give enough to make the readers feel uncomfortable. Although others may not be affected, some readers may find it a little uncomfortable. Some people may even find it offensive, with it describing in detail some of the events that play out in the book. For example, how Lexi imagined her first time, and how she planned out everything. And then in the end, she just ended up getting in a car with her boyfriend and driving off to Yugu. You know what. Other things that can be censored is the usage of drugs. Like I mentioned before, it may not bother others, yet it can bother some. Since it doesn't show censorship, it makes the reader maybe think that it's okay to do these things, like getting experience into having intercourse.
I'm Angel, and I'll be discussing the end development of the adults in the book.
little fires everywhere. Starting with Mia. At first, she was okay with keeping secrets from Pearl, and she was good at moving around from places to places. However, she is a troublemaker, and she likes to cause trouble for other people. But then, after Miss Richardson confronted her, she received a new sense of honesty for Pearl, having the need to tell Pearl all the things that Miss Richardson has mentioned. Speaking of single mothers, which also ties into Mia, Bebe and her baby. Bebe at first was very unstable. She did not know how to take care of her baby, and in the end, she was forced to give her baby up because she cannot take care of her. However, towards the end of the novel, after she finds where her baby is, she becomes very devoted and fights for her baby. She becomes stable, and she tries to prove to everyone that she can take care of her baby and she should deserve a second chance. Although many don't agree, since there are complications with whether or not she should be given a second chance. Like, for instance, Linda Colleague's supporters will say that she was an unstable mother, she was unfit to care for a baby in the first place, and she shouldn't be given a second chance, while others believe that mothers should be able to have the opportunity to raise their own children. Following into the Mr. and Mrs. Richardson, I gotta say, Mr. Richardson doesn't really change much in the novel. However, he is calm and nice, and he remains that way throughout the entire novel to the end. Speaking of the Richardsons, I'm now gonna tie into Miss Richardson. I gotta say, the most important thing was in the beginning how she would go on about how she was so worried about Izzy, and she just got so annoyed by all the little quirks that Izzy had. She was so worried about what Izzy would become that she was overprotective, and she wouldn't let Izzy become her own person, learn from her own mistakes, and choose her own decisions and fight her own battles. However, in the end of the novel, she realizes that she's going to miss all those quirks that Izzy had. And she's also going to miss Izzy herself. Everything that she was worried about her daughter about disappearing, everything came true. And she decided to look for her daughter, no matter how long it took. Because she wants to make amends for all the things she's done to Izzy. She realizes how much she truly loves her daughter. And she is going to miss all the little quirks that she had. Other points to bring out is that Miss Richardson is not used to being told no. And even though she could do these things out of the kindness of her heart, she got a no and she was not expecting it. And towards the end of the novel, she realizes that she's not as big as she thinks she is. Speaking of married couples, I'm now going to tie into Mr. and Mrs. Colleague. Again, not much is said about Mr. Colleague, except that he's a loving father and looking for a child to raise. In the beginning of the novel, Miss Colleague is extremely happy for receiving the child. But by the end, she's crushed because the child was kidnapped by a baby. Although she did lose her daughter, she still has hope, newfound hope, that she can adopt a new Chinese baby. Much wishes to the Mr. and Mrs. Colleague.